Hey guys, it's your boy Vinny B from Raider Nation Radio in the huddle. Guys, I've been talking for months now about TAT, an affordable quality CBD cigarette. Well, good news, all TAT products are now available at all Speedy Marts across Las Vegas. That's right, TAT products, all of them, are now available at all Speedy Marts across Las Vegas.
Broadcasting live from the Treasure Island Sports Club, it's In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
I want to thank you very much for making my day in the sun so memorable.
What's going on, Raider Nation? Welcome back to Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m. It is a Friday, and you know where we are on a Friday on Raider Nation Radio, In the Huddle. Of course, we're at the Golden Circle inside the Treasure Island Hotel, just off the Las Vegas Strip. There's great food and drink specials, live sports, and horse race betting. In fact, there was just a huge race, horse race probably about a half an hour ago. This place was lights out. People were so excited. Sounds like a lot of people won some money in that race, so good for them. The bar and betting kiosks are open 24 hours. We're located right off the casino floor, always free parking. It's all fun and games at the Golden Circle Sports Bar, Sportsbook and Bar. And by the way, we've got plenty of giveaways today. We've got some Embajador tequila, a couple bottles of Embajador tequila that we will be giving away throughout the course of the show, which is 4 to 6. So if you're nearby, come on by to the Golden Circle Sportsbook inside the Treasure Island Hotel. We've got a great show for you today, including all the giveaways and the Embajador tequila. We're going to be bringing in Howard Balzer, the longtime NFL sponsor who covers the Arizona Cardinals now for Sports Illustrated. He'll be in at 4:30. We want your call, 702-365-9200. Before we get to it, just want to remind everybody that this half of the In the Huddle is sponsored by the Neuropathy and Pain Center of Las Vegas. There's nothing worse than living in chronic pain with little hope. The Neuropathy and Pain Center of Las Vegas offers genuine relief from even the most severe and persistent forms of pain. Call their office today or book an appointment online to find out how to live as pain-free a life as possible. Call them at 702-257-7246. All right, so we're asking this question. A couple of different questions, and we're keeping an eye on the James Bradbury situation with the New York Giants. I think it's imminent that he's going to get released. I don't think there's a doubt for one second that the Raiders are going to be interested. Right now, they have about $5 million to spend under the cap. But keep in mind that come June 2nd, that number rises by about $20 million. That is when the Corey Littleton contract officially comes off the books and the Carl Nassib contract officially comes off the books. So in a little less than a month's time from now, the Raiders will have $25 million to spend under the salary cap. James Bradbury, if, as expected, he gets released by the New York Giants, he's the star cornerback for the Giants. This isn't a talent issue. He just makes too much money, and the Giants are up against it with the salary cap. They are $5 million over the cap, and they still got to sign their rookie draft class. So you can't do that until you get under the cap. A likely target, and it's imminent now. I mean, even the general manager of the Giants pointed out that James Bradbury, that situation is probably going to come to a head by the end of this week. And, you know, it's 4 o'clock here Pacific Coast time on Friday. This is about as close as end of the week as you possibly can come before getting into the weekend. So we'll keep an eye on the James Bradbury situation. But also, in addition to that, we're asking this question. The draft is over. It's been put to bed. The bulk of the heavy lifting in free agency and the trade market has been completed by the Raiders. As we sit here today, and let's recap, the Raiders traded for Davante Adams. He will now play alongside a power-packed offense of Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow, Josh Jacobs, Brian Edwards, obviously quarterback Derek Carr, Kenyon Drake, and on and on and on. This offense has a chance to be special and spectacular. It was already pretty damn good. But you add Davante Adams into that picture, and oh my gosh, it goes to a whole other level. In addition, on the other side of the football, bringing in Chandler Jones, who in his own right is just as much as of a game changer and somebody that can alter a game as Davante Adams is on the offensive side of the ball, Chandler Jones, since 2012, has the most sacks in the NFL, the most quarterback-induced fumbles in the NFL. 107.5 sacks, 33 forced fumbles. Those are game-changing type numbers. And the Raiders have added Chandler Jones to a mix that obviously includes Max Crosby, who's arguably one of the top 5-6 pass rushers in the NFL. So you have two now game changers defensively at a critical spot and in a critical component of getting to the quarterback. And you have an unstoppable, and I'm just going to say right now, it's pretty much unstoppable. Yeah, they'll be able, teams will be able to slow it down from time to time. But as Darren Waller told us yesterday, good luck, when you talk about trying to defend Darren Waller and Davante Adams and Hunter Renfrow and Bryan Edwards and Josh Kenyon Drake and everybody else, that's going to be a difficult chore for any opposing defense. I say all that, and as we sit here and think about it and imagine it and ponder it and think about what it's all going to look like and what it's all going to mean out on the field, as we sit here talking about that, in my head at least, and you guys can poke holes in this all you want, give me a call, 702-365-9200. But as we look at the Raiders on paper, they've gotten better, right? I mean, am I wrong? I mean, what am I looking at that doesn't indicate that this is a decidedly to markedly, on paper, better team than it was that ended the last year, that ended last year? And let's just recap for 1 second what the Raiders did last year in overcoming all kinds of obstacles, all kinds of drama, all the injuries, players leaving the roster, the coach, the head coach, getting taken away 5-6 games into the season. In spite of all that, the Raiders won 10 games, which was an improvement on the season before by 2 games. They made the playoffs for only the second time since 2001. And only this, the third time since 2001. They pushed the eventual AFC champion Cincinnati Bengals to the brink in the wild card round of the playoffs in Cincinnati. They were a play away from tying the game and going into overtime against the Bengals, who ended up representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. Have already established that the Raiders are a better team than that team was. Remember, there was no Henry Ruggs. There was no Davante Adams. There was no Chandler Jones. Darren Waller was still banged up. The offensive line still hadn't quite come together or gelled. We'll talk about the offensive line in a little bit. But as we sit here today on May 6th, 2022, the Raiders are a better team than they were that ended last season. And last season's team won 10 games, went to the playoffs, pushed the eventual AFC champion Cincinnati Bengals to the brink of overtime. And yet, in spite of all that, I'm looking at the win-loss projection total for the NFL this season, who, by the way, and that is established by some people that are probably pretty close to us right now here at the Treasure Island Hotel, the Golden Circle Sportsbook. Somewhere in this vicinity here in Las Vegas, somebody gets to decide what the win total projection is heading into the NFL season. We all know that that is enticing people to play. You bet on a team to win more than the games that they say that they think that those teams are going to win, or less, over, under, whatever it is that you choose to do. But somebody establishes that number. And the Raiders, who, again, are a better team than they were last year, and that team won 10 games. And as I look at this list of win projection totals, the Raiders are at 8.5. That is what the odds makers are saying. The Raiders kind of slot right in there, 8.5. Do you think they can win more games than that or not? 8.5 for a team that got better last year to this year, maybe even markedly so. That's what the oddsmakers think the Raiders, that's what they think of the Raiders, that they actually got worse. Because remember, they won 10 games last year. Now they're saying, well, they're lucky to win 8.5 games. We'll see. I want your thoughts. 702-365-9200. Obviously, the AFC West got better. And, you know, if you believe every fan base, every coach, every player, of course, everybody, the whole goal is to get better from one year to the next. So I'm not ruling out that the Chargers got better. I'm not ruling out that the Denver Broncos got better, or on and on and on across the NFL. So there's a bunch of teams that believe genuinely that they got better, and I'm sure the odds makers are taking that into account as they look around the NFL and say, oh, well, you know, the Chargers still have Justin Herbert. They went out and got a bunch of pieces defensively. That's a better team. The Denver Broncos went out and got Russell Wilson. They're better than they were last year, and so on and so forth as they look across the NFL. But here's my question, and what is so weird to me is that not only is Las Vegas saying the Raiders didn't improve from last year, the 10-win team that made the playoffs, they're kind of insinuating that they got worse. And that's where I have a little bit of a, issue here. Theoretically, you got better as the head coach, right? I mean, by the end of last year, it was Rich Bisaccia, all due respect to Rich, and the job that he did kind of holding this thing together. But Josh McDaniels is now in place as the head coach. Dave Ziegler's in place as the general manager. We've seen the impact that this new leadership group has brought to the table, and it's been pretty darn impressive. You know, when you talk about convincing a Chandler Jones to come sign up over here, that's a pretty big deal. That shows a level of belief in the leadership. It also shows a level of belief from a guy like Chandler Jones, who at this stage of his career has done everything you possibly can. He wants to win. And I know money comes into play, but do you think he's just going to come to the Raiders just for the money when there was probably comparable money out there for him? He's too good of a player that the Raiders are the only team that were interested in him. That shows you some belief as well from a player that he feels like, hey, this is a really good situation that's going on in Las Vegas. I want to be part of that. So you see what the leadership, what the coach has already meant, and we haven't even gotten out on the grass. I think that Josh McDaniels with this offense, Patrick Graham, the new defensive coordinator, the new staff, some of the draft picks, some of the other additions that they made in free agency, I think that this thing looks better than it did last year, not worse. But I'm wondering, first, from Raider Nation, do you think that's a fair number, 8.5? Are you with the odds makers on that? Is there skepticism that you have about this team that it got worse, not better from last year? Or do you feel like it's total disrespect for the Raiders? Now, I'm not one of those guys that sits there and says, you know, the NFL is out to get the Raiders. Everybody's out to get the Raiders. I think every fan base, secretly or sometimes overtly or whatever the case might be, their fan base feels like everybody, the entire world, has it against their team. Even Patriot fans, even teams that have won, the Chiefs that have won a Super Bowl recently and been to a couple of Super Bowls. If you talk to their fans, the league has it out against us. You know, we can't get a break. The referees always want, they don't want us to win. You know, so you get that, obviously, from every fan base. And it's, you know, I take it with a grain of salt. So I'm not sitting here thinking that anybody, quote unquote, has it out for the Raiders. Like, that it's an organized attempt or anything like that. But there has to be something. There has to be some reason that I am overlooking, that I'm not seeing, I'm not grasping, that I'm just not seeing in terms of why the oddsmakers feel like the Raiders have gotten worse from last year, not better. Danny?
I would actually say that the bookmakers are giving the Raiders props to an extent, because even with them winning 10 games last year and currently their over-under win total is at 8.5.
Yes.
Last year, their over-under win total was, I believe, as low as 7, maybe even 6.5.
They did, so yeah.
So the bookmakers are saying that the Raiders did improve, but they're also taking into account, you know, their schedule. They have a tough road schedule. They do go to L.A. twice, one of those obviously being a division game, but yep. They also play the Rams. They go to Tennessee. That could be a tough one. They also go to the Saints, depending on how that works out. That could be a tough one. So I think there is – they are giving the Raiders props to an extent because they did up their season win total. But I think they're also taking into account the Broncos got better, and then the Chiefs, the Chargers got better. So all that stuff goes into it.
We're gonna get into that a little bit more. I don't know. The Denver Broncos at 10 wins, you know, I got better than the Cincinnati Bengals. Are you kidding me? The Browns at 9.5, the Ravens at 9.5, the Colts at 9.5. I think the Raiders are better than those teams.
The Colts,
flat out.
The Colts did get a little better. But at 10.5, I think you said?
9.5. Better 9. Than 5, the Raiders, so. Who, by the way, went and beat them in Indianapolis in a must-have win. We're going to go out to the Realty One Group listener line. Raider Dave in Denver is on the line. How you doing, Raider Dave?
Hey there. Yeah, you know, it's just proof that the rest of the league is smoking something because this is so off, it's not even funny. But I really wonder if Vegas, being the home deal and where the numbers are coming from, if they want local money. But you got to look at, like you said, different teams in the AFC West have, you know, 10 or 9-5 or whatever. But you got to look at what three teams they all play that are different. Now, Kansas City, and this is where I think the schedule is going to change and provide an opportunity for the Raiders to really go after the division. The B teams is what Kansas City has to play. They got to play the Bucks, the Bills, and the Bengals. So three very tough teams. The Raiders were second to them, being top seed for the wild card. So they end up getting three teams that aren't quite that high. And then you look at San Diego and Denver, also improved, I guess, okay. But they get to play even lesser teams than that. So I think that factors in a little bit. But, man, I really don't know about this offensive line. You don't know about injuries. It's nice that the Raiders aren't going overseas. I think that makes a difference there. But it'll play out entire schedule. Ought to knock down about a half a game or so just because they're playing the NFC West and the if it's there, the team is good, and so is if they get their stuff.
Yeah, thanks, Raider Dave. I appreciate that. And you know, you bring up a good point, and this is where I'm looking at the Kansas City Chiefs and kind of wondering. I know that they've got Patrick Mahomes, and I know they got Andy Reid, and I know they still have Travis Kelce. There's a lot to like, obviously, about the Kansas City Chiefs. But you just mentioned a big point, and they play the first-place schedule. They finished in first place in their division, i.e., they play a bunch of first-place teams you know, around the NFL. The Raiders finished in second place, so they play a bunch of teams that finished, besides playing the AFC West, obviously, and the NFC West, and I think it's the AFC South that they play. In addition to those games, then they go play second-place teams from across the league, whereas the Kansas City Chiefs play first-place teams, the Chargers play third-place teams, the Denver Broncos play fourth-place teams. So, you know, of course you have to account for that. But, and that's where I kind of have a little bit of an issue. The Kansas City Chiefs, with that first-place schedule, losing, Tyreek Hill, I still think their defense is suspect. For them to be listed as a 10.5 team, I don't know, win team, you know, I think that's a little bit ambitious right now for the Chiefs considering what they've lost and who they have to play. And then the Chargers at 10 wins, I know that they've done well for themselves. I know they've got a lot of talent on paper, but as a caller, it might have been Raider Dave, pointed out yesterday, there's something about the Chargers that historically – they figure out a way to kind of shoot themselves in the foot. So the, you know, it just, I don't, you know, not taking anything away from the Chargers, but it seems like sometimes that happens. So I'm not buying them altogether. And yet when you look at the win total projection, they at 10 and the Broncos at 10 and the Chiefs at 10.5. And then lo and behold, there's the old Raiders at 8.5. You're sitting here and telling me that both of those teams are close to two games better than the Raiders. I don't know, man. I'm not necessarily buying that. I think they're getting underplayed. And maybe, you know, there's a good point. Danny brought up that point that, they're sometimes, and especially here in Las Vegas, what they're trying to do is entice you to go and bet one way or another. And so, of course, they're going to look at that, and they're going to put a number out there that entices you. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio 920 AM on a Friday.
Welcome back to In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, live from the Treasure Island Sportsbook.
What's good, Raider Nation? Welcome back to Raider Nation Radio 920 AM on a Friday. We are live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook here at the Treasure Island Hotel. Eventful day for the Raiders, needless to say. Dan Ventrelli, the team president, is no longer with the organization. We'll see where all of that is headed. The Raiders made some moves in their personnel department, as expected. When a new general manager comes on board and Dave Ziegler came on board, you're going to probably make some changes, and typically that happens after the draft. And for they've brought Brandon Yergon, a longtime scout in the Patriots organization, is the new Raiders college scouting director, and Lenny McGill has been brought on as the new West Coast regional scout. McGill fulfilled that same role with the Dolphins over the last 7 years. Yergon replaces Jim Abrams, who held that role for the Raiders for a number of years. So it's not to be, this is to be expected. Obviously, Dave Ziegler, as the head of the personnel department, is now going to bring in his staff. He has every right to do that. That's typically how it works. Jim Abrams will find his way in the NFL. He's been a longtime NFL scout. I don't doubt for a second that he's going to have a landing spot somewhere. And that'll work out really well for him. So we're keeping track of a bunch of different things that are going on. In just a couple minutes, we're going to bring in Howard Balzer, the great Sports Illustrated writer who covers the Cardinals for Sports Illustrated. He'll be in the huddle for just a few minutes to talk about what's going on in Arizona. He covers the Cardinals for SI and a number of other storylines in the NFL. Where is Baker Mayfield going to end up? Where is Jimmy Garoppolo going to end up? Where is Kyler Murray going to end up? So there's a lot that's going on right now, and Howard Balzer is as good as any to talk to. To get a sense of what is going on. And when we get Howard Balzer, we'll go right to him. He's out in Arizona now, does a fantastic job. We want your thoughts, 702-365-9200, on why the Raiders are being perceived as a team that got worse from last year, not better. The Raiders won 10 games last year. They made the playoffs. They pushed the eventual AFC champion Cincinnati Bengals to the brink of overtime in the playoffs. And now, after getting Chandler Jones and bringing in Davante Adams, their win total going into next year, according to the experts, is 8.5. I don't get it. I don't see that they got worse. I feel like they got better. And even with the schedule that they play, I think they're good enough to navigate that schedule in a way that wins double-digit, that earns them double-digit wins. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation guest line and welcome in a good friend of mine, Howard Balzer. He covers the Cardinals for Sports Illustrated and covers the NFL and has done so for a long time. Howard, how are you doing, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. How are you doing? Recovered from the draft, I guess?
I have. It's just very interesting. As we're sitting here, and I wanted to bring you into this conversation, I don't know what to make of win-loss total projections and all that kind of stuff, but it is interesting to talk about. And Howard, as we look at the Raiders in 10 games last year, they made the playoffs. They're being projected as a team that is going to win 8.5 games last year. It feels like that's a little on the low side. What do you think?
It does seem a little bit low. But as I always point out with different people on different shows and all that, when everyone goes crazy over all these odds, I mean, let's remember most of the time, I mean, we know that whoever is issuing them, whichever sports book or whatever it is, they come out with a number, and then money starts being wagered. And once the money starts being wagered, then those lines begin to move. And so I think there's a lot of overreaction sometimes. I see it on different websites. Oh, this guy's now the favorite to be the MVP, or he's moved up in the MVP. But a lot of times that happens because people vote on that particular person because he's a long shot. And they figure, this is a good way to make some money. Well, then more people do that, and all of a sudden the number starts coming down. So I think that happens with a lot of it, with the over-unders. And so when you're in that 8.5 area, it's is it 9? Is it 8? Whatever it is, I'm sure that if it was 9.5, there'd be, you know, there'd probably be a lot of people that, you know, would be betting on the under on that. So they say, oh, we better lower that number so we get some stuff on the other side. So, but you know, it's all for us to talk about and to debate. But I see this team as being pretty solid. Like you said, they won 10. They got in the playoffs. I think the one thing is, with all the roster changes that they've made, you start to wonder, well, how successful are they going to be in making this a team? It's a lot of players and a lot of pretty good players, but you still have to play together as a team. And you have Josh McDaniels in his first year as a head coach, so I'm sure that's on some people's mind. And I think the big key is, how good does the defense play? They've gotten a lot of weapons, obviously, on offense, and so this team should be able to score points. But in this division, I think that's a big part of it too, Vinny, is that this division is a bear. And so these teams will be knocking each other off, and that's going to be a real key to see in the end of the day who ends up winning that division and how many games they end up winning.
We're talking to Howard Balzer. He covers the Arizona Cardinals for Sports Illustrated. He's covered the NFL for a long period of time and done it at an excellent level. Howard, you mentioned the AFC West. I want to stick with the Kansas City Chiefs for 1 second. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes is an MVP caliber quarterback. Andy Reid is a tremendous head coach and creative, and we'll get that group ready to play and ready to win games. But when you take a Tyreek Hill out of that equation, are people kind of underestimating how difficult it will be for the Chiefs to replace him, especially for what he meant to Patrick Mahomes and to Travis Kelce?
Yeah, I think there is a little underestimation of that. But I think what kind of counters it, just like with Green Bay losing Davante Adams, who of course is now in your backyard, is that people look at it and say, well, they'll come up with something, and they have the quarterback who will manage to do some big things. But having said that, when you lose a talent like that that defenses have to account for, then how are you going to make up for that? And so that's going to be the thing that we're all going to be watching very closely, because Tyreek Hill was obviously explosive. He was dynamic. He wasn't being as successful going deep last year, maybe the year before, as he had been in the past, because teams were playing him differently. And so now, obviously, it's going to be up to the Chiefs and Andy Reid to figure out how they're going to, in a sense, refashion this offense a little bit when you don't have that guy out there. And it's going to be interesting to see. But, yeah, you have to believe that it's going to affect them. And I think it brings them, you know, let's put it this way, it closes the gap a little bit in that division. And with the quarterbacks in this division, who knows? I mean, who knows? I mean, what the heck? I mean, they won 12 last year. Raiders won 10. So that's only a two-game difference. And, of course, we all know if the Raiders had lost to the Chargers in that last game, Chargers would have won 10. So you got those top three teams there. And then Denver with Russell Wilson that is going to make this, you know, really intriguing. And so, I think the gap is lower, you know, is narrowed, and we'll have to see if one of these other teams is capable of potentially overtaking them.
Howard, obviously Russell Wilson goes to the Denver Broncos. That felt like a breakup that was, you know, in Seattle that we all could kind of see coming. For whatever reason, the partnership between he and Pete Carroll just kind of deteriorated over the years, and maybe that sometimes is what happens. We saw that with Tom Brady. And Bill Belichick, it just goes that way sometimes. Now he gets his fresh start in the. By all accounts, the Broncos are a good, solid football team. They are being listed as a 10-win team next year. Do you feel like Russell Wilson, and I know that they play a third-place schedule, so that has to be accounted for it, but do you feel like Russell Wilson means that much right now to the Denver Broncos, and then all of a sudden that's going to go a team that was average 500, below 500, to all of a sudden being a 10-win team?
Yeah, that's the perception, and that's what often happens when you have a guy of that quality going to a team. Everyone just, okay, it's going to be fine there. But let's remember, this was a Seattle team last year, and I know Wilson missed three games, but he was on a Seattle team with DK Metcalf and with Tyler Lockett, and it wasn't a bad football team, but they won 7 games. So all of a sudden he's going to go to Denver, playing against these teams in the division, and voila, miraculously they're going to win 3 more. I'm not saying it's impossible that it would happen, but I'd be a little reluctant to actually put money on figuring that they're going to win that many games. And I know this, Josh McDaniel sitting there in Vegas, he wishes that when he was in Denver, they had a quarterback, just as Vic Fangio and then Vance Joseph, who have been head coaches with the Broncos, who didn't have a quarterback, and they're sitting there going, oh, I wish we had Russell Wilson. So he can't, I don't think there's any doubt, Vinny, he can mean a lot to that team. But obviously they have to go out and prove it, and that the talent around him is going to enable them to play at that level and win that many games. And once again, I keep sound like a broken record, I know, but going back to that division, and you mentioned the third place schedule, and that's all well and good, but you still got to play those six games in the division. And how are they going to do in there? Because if you only win two of your six, then you've got a long, long road, obviously, to get to 10 wins.
Yep, there's no question. We're talking to Howard Balzer from he covers the Cardinals for Sports Illustrated. Always does a great job. All right, in your neck of the woods, Howard, Kyler Murray, for not participating in OTAs, we'll see what happens, in minicamp and then training camp. What's the latest on Kyler Murray and the Cardinals?
Well, it's been pretty quiet. And Steve Keim, the general manager, after they acquired Marquise Brown from Baltimore, and was asked about Kyler once again, and he says, hey, I'm talking to him all the time, and he's texting stuff after they got Brown and how happy he was. And he had said all along, as the owner Michael Bidwell had said right from the start of this soap opera, that, hey, we're going to take care of Kyler Murray, but it's not going to happen until the summer, which is when it happened for Patrick Mahomes in his fourth season, when it happened for Josh Allen when he was in his fourth season. And we've got, there are certain ways these things go in terms of preparing for free agency, getting through that, preparing for the draft. He said, now we can pay attention to that. He says, we intend to take care of him. So you have to take him as a word. I don't know if Murray and his agent didn't trust the Cardinals, and that's why they went on this, crazy way of going about it, trying to get a contract earlier. But here they are, and it's after the draft. They said, oh, the deadline's the draft. Oh, really? Well, he's still on the Cardinals. And so I expect it to happen. I think there's still some questions about Murray with leadership, and he's been injured at the end of both of the last two seasons, and he hasn't played as well, nor has the team after that. But they realize that if they're going to win and have a chance to do something in the playoffs, it's going to be with Kyler Murray. And so I expect, I don't know if it'll be June, if it'll be July, but I would expect something to get done. And like I said, everything's been pretty quiet. And I think Kyler Murray's resigned to the fact, but he realizes, okay, that didn't work. Now we've got to mend some fences. I'm going to be curious, Vinny, if he ends up coming to any of these later OTAs. This week is a week when now, you can have work on the field, coaches can be there. The first couple of weeks were just, weightlifting and strength and conditioning and all those things. So I'm going to be curious if he comes, especially with Marquise Brown saying, hey, I'm going to be there, and I'm hoping Kyler is. So I'm just going to be very curious to see if he ends up, showing up for any of this work in the coming weeks.
Howard, as it relates to the Cardinals playing in the explosive NFC West, we're going to go a little bit. We know that the Rams, defending Super Bowl champions, I think that they're going to be just as good as they were last year. But when you look at up north in San Francisco, the quarterback situation there, what are we to make of Trey Lance, assuming that role? And where do you think Jimmy Garoppolo ends up?
Yeah, I think that's I think aren't we all kind of tired of talking about Jimmy Garoppolo and Baker Mayfield? I think we're just hoping that let's just do something on this so we don't have to talk about it and speculate and try to guess where they're going to end up. I don't know, because he's making a lot of money. Everybody talks about the close to $19 million that Baker Mayfield's under contract for. Well, Garoppolo's under contract for close to $25 million, and he can't even begin throwing until the summer after off-season surgery. And so you look at other teams and you're saying, well, who's going to take, who's going to give the 49ers draft picks and want to take on that contract? And who knows, maybe Garoppolo has to accept the pay cut to go somewhere and have a chance to play. And I know we can all guess, but there's not that many places right now that you can look at and say, okay, this makes sense. I mean, some think Carolina, some think even Seattle to come in and compete with Geno Smith and Drew Lock, but are those teams going to give up draft picks and do what they have to and take on that contract, knowing it's the last year of his contract? it's a complicated situation, and I think it's totally up in the air right now, Vinny, what will happen with those guys and where they'll be. And wouldn't it be a shock if they end up staying where they are? Now, I think Garoppolo's fine with that. I don't know that Baker Mayfield is, but he might not have much of a choice in the matter.
Howard, last question for you. The New York Giants are probably going to release James Bradbury at some point. Not a talent issue. They're up against it with the salary cap, actually over the salary cap. They need to free up some money just to be able to sign their rookie class. James Bradbury looks like he's going to hit the open market right now. Where do you see the landing spots for James Bradbury? And do you think the Raiders, who have a big question mark now with Trayvon Mullen, are serious players in that regard?
I think a lot of teams, Vinny, could be serious players for James Bradbury. Now, obviously, he's going to have an asking price that's going to be pretty high. And whether he can get that, it's hard to say at this point. But we know how cornerbacks are at a premium. And we saw Stephon Gilmore didn't get a, break the bank contract when he recently signed. But he got a pretty solid two-year deal, which is probably the best he was going to do in the open market. So I would think, the way teams need corners, and as many as you need on your team, that there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be, pursuing him and talking to him. Bottom line is, can you come to contract terms, and what will he accept? But that's a guy that, there's no question, that's a guy who would improve just about any team that he would be on.
Yep, absolutely. Howard Balzer, thanks so much for spending some time with us in the huddle. Truly appreciate it. We will talk to you down the road, my friend.
Look forward to it, Vinny. Take care.
You got it. That was Howard Balzer. He covers the Cardinals for Sports Illustrated. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Friday.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignor. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor on Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m.
Howard, thanks again to Howard Balzer, who covers the Cardinals and the NFL. Does a great job for Sports Illustrated doing that. Has been doing it for many, many years. By the way, look, it's your time to buy or sell a home, and the Realty One Group wants to be the one to be part of your story. Yes, the housing market is hectic. We all get that. I just saw what the medium house price is here in Las Vegas. I think it's up to $460,000. That's about $120,000 more than it was this time last year. So no doubt, the housing market is hectic, but it's still a great time to sell or even buy the home of your dreams. You'll need a hardworking real estate professional to get it done, though, and they've got you covered at the Realty One Group. They know the market, they know the neighborhoods, they know the transactions, and they know they can do this for you. Realty One Group was founded in Las Vegas, and it's been their home for more than 11 years. They've been opening doors for their clients and opening doors for real estate professionals to live better lives. They are also proud to give back to the community, donating their time and resources to make an impact. So whether you're selling or buying, call the Realty One Group at 888-461-0101. Again, just to reiterate, by the way, the Raiders have made some moves in their personnel department. They've also made a move at the presidency. Dan Ventrelli is no longer the team president. We'll see where that all goes, and I know that the Raiders will begin a search for a replacement immediately. But in the personnel department as well, we've been talking about this and speculating about this. No surprise, Dave Ziegler, the new general manager, is kind of reshaping his department more toward his vision and his thinking. So he went out and got Brandon Yergan, a longtime scout in the Patriots organization. That's where, obviously, Dave Ziegler worked previously, as did Josh McDaniels, the new head coach. So Brandon will come in as the Raiders' new college scouting director, replacing Jim Abrams. In addition, the Raiders also hired Lenny McGill. He is the new West Coast regional scout. McGill had that role, that same exact role, with the Dolphins over the last 7 years. So some reshaping going on in the personnel department. It's to be expected when a new leadership group, as Dave Ziegler is, comes in. It's going to happen, especially right after the draft. after all the work has been done. You don't usually do it before the draft. You wait till after the draft. Everyone pretty much knows what the deal is, what the story is. It gives them some time now. Guys like Jim Abrams, who will find a landing spot to go find a job if he hasn't already with another team, I'm sure he's going to be just fine. So those are some news items with the Raiders as far as that personnel department. And it'll be interesting. You know, we had Greg Bedard on yesterday talking about kind of how the Patriots have seen things. And I know Raider fans, some of them have expressed this to me, this whole kind of Patriot way. And it's you know, I understand where, hey, we're the Raiders, not the Patriots. You know, let's remember that. And here's what I'll say about Dave Ziegler, Josh McDaniels. Yeah, they bring some Patriot ways to the Raiders organization. But I can tell you this, they're determined to put a Raiders spin on all this and their own unique spin on all this. And you have to imagine Bill Belichick had final say in everything that happened in New England, right? So while that's where they were groomed, that's how they learned, that's the philosophy that they've been working under, and a lot of those principles will now be brought to the Raiders, and rightfully so. It's a winning organization, and they have winning foundation and winning principles. But I'm sure, just as in any other case, for any other team in the league, you know, when you're underneath the decision maker, you don't always agree with everything that the decision maker does. But your role is to offer suggestions, give as much insight and intelligence and data and recommendations and opinions and all that to the decision maker. And then ultimately the decision maker makes the final decision. But now Dave Ziegler is in charge. Josh McDaniels is in charge. So all those suggestions that they had that may or may not have resonated with a Bill Belichick and maybe said, nope, I appreciate it, but I'm going to go in this direction. This is what I would rather do. This is how I see it. You respect that when you work under somebody like that. Now they're making their decisions. So, you know, they're going to put their own spin on this whole thing, and you're going to see that in the years ahead, how this all kind of plays out. So, yes, there's a Patriot slant to it. That's fine. That's okay. That's a winning organization, comes from winning principles. But as time plays out, and I think you've already seen it in the Davante Adams trade, and you've seen it in the Chandler Jones signing, as time plays out, they are going to definitely put their own unique spin on things, and it's going to be a Raider way. That's the way it's going to work. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila and Bajada, Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM, a Friday. Hey, guys, it's your boy Vinny B from Raider Nation Radio in the Huddle. Guys, I've been talking for months now about TAT, an affordable quality CBD cigarette. Well, good news, all TAT products are now available at all Speedy Marts across Las Vegas. That's right, TAT products, all of them, are now available at all Speedy Marts across Las Vegas.